From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. In this update of news and events from Central and South America and the Caribbean, there's some really disturbing events taking place inside Nicaragua, the nation that hosts our reporter from south of the border, Tony Solo, and we spoke with him via Skype on Sunday. It seems that, the U.S. machine, whatever it is, Mr. President, no more regime change, somebody seems to have not gotten the memo or is writing a new one, because there's a whole game going on the ground in Nicaragua. Why don't you start there?
Yeah, and the first thing to tell anybody listening to this is don't believe anything that you read on the social media. And don't believe anything, of course, that you read in the mainstream corporate foreign news coverage about Nicaragua. That's the first thing to say. So what's happening? The current events of violence across the country have been, in theory, superficially, provoked by a dispute between the private business sector organizations led by an organization called COSEP, the Consejo Superior de la Empresa Privada, which kind of is an umbrella group for all the different private sector business organizations in Nicaragua. They decided over last weekend, over the previous weekend, or the previous week, to withdraw from discussions trying to reach a consensus over social security reform, which is urgently necessary in Nicaragua, as it has been all around the world. And if you look around the world, social security reform has been a key issue for governments and countries in Western Europe, in North America, almost everywhere. And Nicaragua is not an exception to that. They have a deficit currently running at about $75 million in their social security program, which is one where current contributions cover current expenses. So it's really urgent to try and resolve that shortfall, that deficit. And the fundamental dispute between Nicaragua's private sector and the government is that the private sector wants to impose a neoliberal reform of the Nicaragua social security system, and the government wants to maintain the social security system as a collective public good.
Right.
So that's the fundamental disagreement. And some people have been saying, oh, well, it's the government's fault because they didn't consult, which is ridiculous, because they've been consulting for well over a year with both the private business sector, trade, labor unions, the cooperative movement, rural workers organizations, the church. It's ridiculous to say that they haven't consulted. They have consulted, and their decision, once the COSEP decided to withdraw from the discussions, was to promote a plan that increased the finance available to the social security system via relatively small increases in contributions, while also maintaining the coverage and benefits, and even extending them to some extent for elderly people, based on agreement with in Nicaragua, there's an organization that is called the Union of Senior Citizens, or the Union of Elderly People, that represents the interests of pensioners. And they supported the government's proposals, among which are a 5% deduction from old people's pensions, but in return for which they get the complete health benefits of an active worker contributing to Nicaragua's social security system.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the I can give you, if you want, I can give you a quick rundown of the main government proposals and the neoliberal private enterprise, private business sector proposals. Would that be useful?
I guess some context would be useful because, for example, I'm looking at Kirk Semple's article in the New York Times this past Friday, the 20th of April. And, you know, the other than blaming opposition to newly announced changes in the Social Security program and then saying that, you know, for some younger workers that there is going to be a, you know, somewhat larger, withholding to cover medical expenses. They don't really explain any of the details. And the real thing that they don't do is say, by the way, this is what workers in Nicaragua have and what it costs as opposed to what workers in Honduras have and Colombia
exactly.
have,
of
all
course.
Of that. Yeah, right. And which is so the real context.
The historical context in Nicaragua is that under 17 years of right-wing governments, the social security system was pillaged and ransacked for the benefit of the private sector. That is the context.
Like the United States. Right, exactly.
Yeah, and in January 2007, the Sandinista Front took power under President Daniel Ortega, and they implemented a series of changes in the social security system that increased coverage, increased benefits, maintained the contributions at a level that was within the reach of ordinary workers. And the IMF, and historically in the region, the regional context is that in Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, of course, where the private business sector has been in power and remains in power. Although in El Salvador there have been some mitigation effects as a result of attempts by the progressive FMLN government under President Salvador Sanchez Seren to protect workers' rights. But regionally, the context is that the social security systems are ransacked and pillaged for the benefit of the private business sector. That came to a stop in January 2007 in Nicaragua.
Right.
And ever since then, the IMF has been, when it had influence in Nicaragua, when Nicaragua was still in an IMF program, and that ended in 2012, I think, the IMF was arguing, well, they were trying to force the government to say, right, we're going to increase the retirement age, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what the private business sector is saying now. They want to implement the IMF recipe for Nicaragua's social security system. And their recipe includes increasing the age from 60 to 65 for retirement, doubling the number of quotas, the weekly contributions that qualify people to receive a pension from 750 weekly contributions, which is equivalent to about 15 years at 50 weeks a year. To 1,500 contributions, which is equivalent to 30 years. And this in an economy where many people don't work more than 5, 6, or 7 months a year. And that's the important thing to remember. This isn't an economy with with a majority of people in formal employment. The majority of people are in informal employment. In the construction industry, in the agricultural and livestock industries in Nicaragua, and that's why increasing the number of contributions to 1,500 equivalent to 30 years at 50 weeks a year is completely impractical here in Nicaragua. So the other thing that they want to do, are to abolish the reduced pension. The reduced pension is a pension that is paid to older people who, for one reason or another, over the last 20 years, last 30 years, were unable to meet the minimum 750 weekly contributions. And so despite the fact that they don't qualify for a full pension, they get paid a reduced pension. The private business sector want to eliminate that. There's also a minimum pension. The minimum pension is what's paid to people who are on such low earnings that over the years that if they when they retire, they don't even get a pension equivalent to the minimum wage of the average industrial worker. So the minimum pension is something the government brought in to protect pensioners and ensure that no retired person receives less than the minimum industrial wage.
Right.
Other things that the right-wing business sector want to implement are, here in Nicaragua, the central bank manages the foreign currency so that every year they have a statutory sliding devaluation of 5%, equivalent to 5% a year. So one of the things in the social security system is that every year they maintain the value of the pension, increasing it by 5% to compensate for that 5% built-in devaluation from the central bank. The other thing that they do is they guarantee what in Nicaragua is called the 13th month. It's like a Christmas bonus. So all workers under Ministry of Labor regulations receive a 13th month, their Christmas bonus, equivalent to 1 month's salary. And in the social security system, all pensioners receive that 1 month bonus, which is equivalent to 1 month of their pension. The private business sector want to abolish that. So, the private business sector want to abolish all those benefits and keep the contributions that they have to pay as employers the same. So that, and basically what the private business sector is saying, don't affect our rate of profit, cut benefits so that the costs of the social security system drop and we don't have to pay any more money. That's the private business sector proposal.
Yeah, and on top of that, by the way, just there's another layer of context I just want to throw at that for a moment, which is the NECA Act here in the U.S., which basically is an attempt, another effort by the United States to strangle the economy in Nicaragua in general, which means that solving problems like trying to restore the Social Security pension funds and such that were looted under the last U.S.-backed government is harder because the entire economic situation becomes more problematic.
Of course, absolutely. And this is all part of a coordinated attack against a very successful progressive government that has made the right-wing governments in the region look stupid. And it's made U.S. policy in the region look stupid.
Yep.
Anyway, now let's go back to what the government proposal is. The government proposal is, no, let's not reduce coverage. Let's not reduce our costs. With the economy is now sufficiently productive and people are sufficiently prosperous for us to be able to say we can increase contributions in line with that prosperity and in line with the increase in profits that you in the business sector have enjoyed over the last 5, 6, 7 years, ever since the end of the crisis as a result of the 2008 global financial crash.
Right.
So what they're saying, what the government is saying is, right, we want to introduce in a gradual way over the next 2 or 3 years a 3.25% increase in the employer's contribution. And likewise, a 0.75% increase in the employees, the workers' contribution.
You're kidding.
No.
It's less than 5% in the aggregate, with 3% in change being borne by the employer.
Oh, of course. Yeah, and let me finish, Don. It's worse than that. And what the government is saying, we're not going to eliminate the reduced or minimum pensions. We're not going to eliminate the maintenance of value against the central bank's 5% annual devaluation. We're not going to eliminate the 13th month Christmas bonus for pensioners. All that stays the same. What we are going to do is ask pensioners who currently do not enjoy full healthcare benefits to pay 5% of their pension so that they get full healthcare coverage.
Wow.
And as I said earlier, the Elderly Persons Union, the Senior Citizens Union here in Nicaragua, has welcomed that move, and they're prepared to pay 5% of their pension to get the incalculable benefits to elderly people who obviously disproportionately have health problems because of their age. They will now get complete health care as if they were an active worker.
Okay, so just for a little context here, me personally, okay, collecting Social Security pay at the moment because I don't qualify for Medicare yet. I haven't reached the age for Medicare, which is the public health insurance. But my health insurance through my wife's former employer, IBM, I pay about 5/8 of my Social Security monthly payment for the premium, and it carries a $4,000 deductible annually.
Right.
And then about a quarter of my Social Security will go to Medicare. That's here in the U.S. with only 80% coverage of your stuff. So when you're talking about, even if it's a whole 5% contribution to go to cover full health insurance, it's somewhere between 15 and 20% of what it costs in the United States.
Right.
As
okay.
a percentage.
And so, you know, so I'm the... And you can argue about that. You can say, and the private business sector are within their rights to say, oh, well, what about some small businesses with only 10 or 12 employees and they work on such small margins that a 3% increase in their Social Security costs could throw them out of business?
Yep.
Now, that is a legitimate comment.
Yeah, show us your books. Let's sit down and figure out a solution.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not what they've done. What they right. did was... They withdrew from the talks, and then magically, the country has been thrown into utter chaos, largely provoked, partly provoked by foolishly naive young students who swallowed hook, line, and sinker right. the ridiculous right-wing propaganda that the government was trying to screw them over, if you like, by increasing... Social Security contributions without explaining that the right-wing plan was 100 times worse.
Right.
And so that's so what you now have, what are the events here in Nicaragua as a result of this move by the private business sector and their right-wing political organizations? What is going on is an attempt to get political power by the right wing in Nicaragua that enjoys something under, and all recent polls indicate that they enjoyed around 10% national support.
Right.
They're trying to get political power that they cannot get via the electoral road. Election after election, they've lost by over 60%, right? So,
yep.
And what's going on is... partly an attempt at a national level by the right wing to establish quotas of power that they can't get via the ballot box, via elections, by electoral democracy. And partly it's very clearly an attempt by the United States elements like Ileana Ros-Lehtinen and Marco Rubio and all those people that sympathize with those extreme right-wing fascists to impose... do what we want or else diplomacy from the United States on Nicaragua, as they have failed to do so far in Venezuela.
And Cuba. I mean, because a lot of those, like around Rubio and the other one from Florida you just mentioned, you know, these are the Batististas that are
right,
still hovering
sure.
around, you know, some of them in their 80s and 90s hovering around Miami and New Jersey with Menendez. And they're still making policy for the U.S. government.
Yeah, and they still froth at the mouth about democracy and liberty and
yep.
as if they know anything about what that might be.
Well, you know, Eskimo
Green. I'm staying here in Nicaragua. What have been the recent events? Well, on Wednesday, mass demonstrations started from largely from very ill-informed and largely ignorant of the issue university students. But within that, there were already implanted right from the start right-wing, extreme right-wing shock groups, and also working together with obviously... bought and paid
right.
for delinquent elements from
right.
the poorest classes here in Nicaragua.
Suddenly, everywhere at different protests, people had firebombs, for example. What a coincidence.
So what have they done? I mean, they've burnt down university precincts. And they've destroyed university precincts. They've attacked healthcare infrastructure. They tried to destroy the Cuban-staffed eye clinic that gives free eye care under Misión Milagro to tens of thousands of Nicaraguans and has done over many years. They tried to destroy that clinic. They've attacked brand new infrastructure, including for many people in Nicaragua is a symbol of national reconciliation, the Denis Martinez National Baseball Stadium, a state-of-the-art baseball stadium named in honor of Denis Martinez, who played a perfect game for the Toronto baseball team back in whenever it was, 1981, 1982. I think he's one of the few foreign baseball players that ever to achieve the perfect game, if not the only one.
And he
during the 1980s supported the right wing. He was against the Sandinista government, but in recent years, as a result of the reconciliation process, he's become a symbol of national reconciliation.
Right.
And even so, the right wing gangs tried to attack and destroy, thankfully without success, the Denis Martinez Baseball Stadium. They tried to destroy the most modern hospital that was just recently completed in any Central American public health system, the Fernando Vélez Páez Hospital in Managua. They tried to attack that. They tried to attack the Social Security head office in Managua. Throughout the country, they've attacked the municipal offices in Granada and in León, which are very important tourist centers. They tried to burn them down. They've attacked the houses of individual mayors and political figures. They've murdered journalists. In the process, some protesters have lamentably lost their lives. But in the overall context, it's hardly surprising that there have been fatalities on both sides. Police officers have been killed.
Yeah.
Over 30 police officers are in hospital. And I think the current toll is 3 or 4 police officers murdered.
Mm.
By gunshots. And Sandinista journalists have been murdered by gunshots. There was a case last night of a young Sandinista journalist shot in the head as he was on air.
Whoa.
And so, you know, and what does that remind you of? Well, it's Libya all over again. It's Thailand all over again. It's Syria all over again. It's the Ukraine. It's the Maidan in Kiev all over again, where opposition gunmen shot their own side and killed their own side so as to provoke, just as they did back in 2002 in Venezuela in Caracas during the attempted coup against then-President Hugo Chavez Frias. The right-wing gunmen killed demonstrators on their own side so as to provoke an even greater popular reaction. So, and all of that is what's going on now here in Nicaragua. That is what is going on. It's an attempt at regime change. It's supported by the worst elements of the United States right wing, working in cahoots with the corrupt maniac government of President Donald Trump. And working together with local right-wing elites, just as they have done in Venezuela.
Okay, so we only have about 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we go to some context on this too. And by the way, stay in touch with us over the next weeks, in case this gets crazy, because maybe it's going to require closer attention than just looking at it once a week. After the essentially the failed OAS Summit of the Americas in Lima, that was last week or the week before, there is a coordinated effort by the right-wing governments in Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Paraguay, and Peru to step out of UNASUR, which is the real regional integration tent. And maybe we'll talk about some of that, because it seems like there's a whole big push in general to completely change the landscape there.
Yeah, and the conservative restoration is not has nothing to do with democracy. It's something imposed by the elites. It's an attempt to usurp democratic participatory power in across Latin America and the Caribbean. The crisis, the current crisis in UNASUR, has been caused by correspondence from six countries, the governments of Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Paraguay, and Peru. And they've written to Bolivia's government, which is the pro tempore head of UNASUR, which is the Union of South American countries. And they've said that they're not happy with the current state of the Secretary Generalship of UNASUR, which has, under Argentina's pro tempore presidency, they've been unable to reach consensus about who should be the Secretary General. There are problems in the administration of UNASUR, according to these six countries. Meanwhile, the countries remaining, Bolivia, Uruguay, Ecuador, Venezuela, Suriname, and Guyana, are determined to try and maintain the UNASUR framework, not allow it to be destroyed by this apparent withdrawal by the much larger countries like Argentina and Brazil. And it remains to be seen whether the UNASUR integration framework can survive this crisis. But it's all part, I think you're right to see this as all part of the same thing. The right-wing elites are working with the United States elites, corporate elites, represented by the United States government, of course, and the European corporate elites, represented by the European Commission, to try and roll back all the progressive gains, all the improvements for the impoverished majority that were achieved by progressive governments in Venezuela, Brazil, and Argentina prior to 2015. And that, because that was when the right wing took power in Argentina. It was when the coup began against Dilma Rousseff in Brazil. And it's important to remember that, as far as the corporate elites are concerned, any improvement in the conditions of life of the impoverished majority comes from what they regard as an unacceptable price in their profits.
Yeah,
they lose, and that's what everything that's going on in the region is all about.
You know, they need to look at people in Nicaragua, particularly those students. Need to look at what Lenny Moreno has planned for the people of Ecuador with the cutbacks in the public sector, in absolute terms, cutbacks. Let's do trade treaties with the United States. In other words, the same agenda is being carried out, but in Ecuador, because Moreno, you know, did his flip once he took power, he's openly discussing what plans he has for these things, and the folks who were, you know, in the streets over a less than 1% increase in their withholding, those that have jobs, might want to pay attention to what happens if the other side gets in power, because that's what they have with Lenny.
Yeah, and we'll see over the next, and I'm sure within the next few days, things will become much clearer. And either yep. people will realize that they've been fooled by the right wing, these protesters, the useful protesters, will realize that they've been fooled by the right wing and used as useful idiots, or they won't.
Right.
And if they don't, then the crisis in Nicaragua is likely to be prolonged, and that's going to have a very bad effect on Nicaragua's economy. The issue for the right wing here is, especially for the private business sector, is how much money are they prepared to lose in order to get the quotas of illicit political power that they don't deserve, that they are seeking.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens if the government says, okay, fine, you don't want to do the 3% additional contribution, don't, to see if they turn it off. I've got to stop there, Tony, because we're out of time. But, you know, we'll be looking for further updates. If anything starts, you know, happening there that you think is, you know, important for our audience, please, you know, let's get it out there.
Yeah, sure. I certainly will, Don. Thanks.
Thank you. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.